We are going online now with everyone in Chicago. We're coming to you from Philadelphia. Hello, Chicago family. Hello to all of our online family. We are so delighted that we could worship the Lord together. The Spirit of the Lord is everywhere, but when we gather in the name of Jesus, is anybody here because of Jesus? Come on, hallelujah. Because we're together in the name of Jesus, the Spirit of God is with us, and He wants to meet us. One church, two cities. He wants to meet you if it just so happens that you're watching online today. The Holy Spirit wants to touch you. And, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot as of late, even in terms of the line of sermons for the next couple of weeks. If someone were to ask you, why is it that you serve Jesus? What would you say? What would you say in Chicago? Why do you serve Jesus? Well, you might say something like, well, it's because He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Like we sang, who else is worthy? I have a question for you. Who else is worthy but Jesus? He came to the earth. He lived a sinless life. He went to the cross, took on our sin. He died, but then He conquered sin and death, and He rose again in power, giving us new life. Who else is worthy? Somebody say amen. Amen. That's why I follow Him. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. You might say, well, it's because when you walk with Jesus, you have peace. When you walk with Jesus, you experience joy. When you walk with Jesus, He releases blessing into your life because our God is a good God. How many would agree with me that God is a good? Come on in, Chicago. He's a good, good God. Amen. Now, you might say after listening to last week's message, you know what? Walking with Jesus keeps me young. How many know you can stay young when you walk with Jesus? Because even though outwardly our body gets older, inwardly we can be renewed day by day. How many would say amen? Like my walk with God, I like His mercies. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning. And my walk with Jesus is new every single day. How many are thankful that we don't follow a dead religion? We don't follow just rules and regulations. We live and walk with the living God. How many would say amen? Hallelujah. That's why we follow Jesus. We follow Jesus because He's real. We follow Jesus because He not only is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but we follow Him because He chose to come and dwell in our hearts. You might say also, because of who Jesus is, every time, all day long, He gives me the ability to stay up. Everybody say, stay up. I can stay up because of who He is and because of what He does in my life. The title of today's message is Stay Up. Say it one more time. Stay up. Because of your relationship with God, because of my relationship with God, guess what? We can stay up. Despite circumstances, despite troubles, despite hardships. Anybody here had a bit of a challenging week? I smashed a car this week. Not too bad. I ripped off the front bumper of a car. And there was no one in it. Nobody got hurt except my ego. And most likely, our wallet. but like I wrecked a car. I mean, it I had a challenging week, you know. But how many know in this life there's many troubles, but even when there's troubles, you and I, because of Jesus, we can stay up. We can actually stay up. And what I want to do today is I want to read the reason. I want to remind some. I want to instruct others. And I want to encourage myself and you and everyone in Chicago and online about how powerful he is and how much he can boost you up. If you happen to struggle with feeling down, and if you happen to struggle with getting discouraged, I want to encourage you to memorize this passage of scripture. Okay, memorize it. Take the time to fill yourself with this truth so that, and here's why, so that when you come under pressure from the outside, because you have Christ on the inside when you're a Christian, when you have pressure from the outside, because you've put the Word of God in you, the Holy Spirit can quicken what you put inside of yourself. He quickens that, and then he enables you to resist demonic suggestions. He enables you to resist the fiery darts. He enables you to resist the darkness that wants to come upon you. How many would agree with me? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Somebody say amen right now. So memorize this. Get this into your spirit. And when you do, you will stay up. So let's read Romans chapter 8, verse 35. By the way, go home and read the whole chapter. It's so, so powerful. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 is as follows. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, everyone say no. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced, I hope you're convinced today, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. We stay up through the love of God that makes us more than conquerors. Hallelujah. So here's what I want to do right now. I want us to pray together. And as we go to pray, remember when you read the Word of God and when you hear the Word of God, personalize it. Make it yours. Take the Word of God and make it part of you. This is the moment when you say, God, speak to me. Even though the Holy Spirit can speak to so many people at once, he can also, in that context, he speaks to us individually. Custom made. So come on, lift your hands with me wherever you are, and let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your powerful word. We thank you for your word, because your word not only can help us to stay young, but your word will help us to stay up. Lord, despite the difficulties of this life, despite the challenges, oh God, present and past and even future, we declare that we receive and believe your word. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who loved us. So bless, oh God, our time. Bless this word. Bless every heart and mind to receive what you have to say to them, oh God. Do it by your mighty power in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. And amen. Now, there's so much in this passage of scripture, but I want to touch on some of the high points So it begins with this declaration. Is there anyone who can separate us from the love of God? And the answer is no. How many know nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus? Amen? But here's the key. He goes on to say, I am convinced. See, the key to staying up means that you've got to let the Holy Spirit convince you. You have to let God convince you. God wants to convince you today. And here's what convinced means. Convinced means to agree, to be assured, to believe, to have confidence. So you could say, I'm in agreement with the Word of God today. I'm assured by the Word of God today. How many can say, I believe in Jesus and I believe in the Word of God today? I am confident in who my Savior. And because you're convinced, then you say, I'm more than my failures. I'm more than my weakness. I'm more than my finances today. I'm more than my struggles. I'm more than my challenges. Why? Because through Christ Jesus, I am more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Because of Jesus, we're more. We're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Now, in order to really understand this, we have to look at what a conqueror is and then what is more than a conqueror. So simply stated, the defining characteristic of conquerors is the ability, listen to this, to violently usurp others and take their land and possessions by force. Moreover, history's greatest conquerors convinced legions of men underneath them to pillage at scale. Like, did you ever marvel at, in like a terrible way, but like, how could it be possible that Hitler could convince regular people to do that? 6 million Jews were exterminated. Like, what happened? It was like there was a demonic anointing on Hitler. Hitler was a horrible conqueror. Now, when you look at other people, by the way, so the way you determine who the greatest conqueror is, at least the way the historians do it, is they do it based on conquered square miles of real estate. So give you a couple of examples. So Napoleon Bonaparte conquered 720,000 miles. So we can't really understand that. We can't get our minds around it. Alexander the Great conquered 2.1 million square miles. Genghis Khan is considered the greatest conqueror of all time. He conquered 4,860,000 square miles. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that you and I are not just conquerors. We are more than conquerors. How? Through Christ Jesus. Jesus conquered not square miles. Jesus conquered hearts. Jesus has conquered billions and billions of hearts. And listen, he doesn't do it through violence. He doesn't do it through oppression. He does it by love. He does it by grace. He does it by help. He does it by care. Anybody here happy that Jesus conquered your heart today? Anybody happy by what he has done in your life? Well, here's the thing. When Jesus conquers you, he makes you more than a conqueror. This is what the Bible is saying. And I want you to think about your relationships. I want you to think about the challenges of your life, because here's what it means. A secular, earthly conqueror defeats his enemies, but one who's more than a conqueror befriends his enemy. A conqueror in the world nullifies the purpose of his enemies, but one who is more than conqueror inspires God's purpose for his enemies. How many know we've got this coming week, God wants to use you and me to inspire the purpose of God in someone else's life. Even if they don't like you, that person who's not nice to you at work, you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, and you can inspire that person to serve God. Somebody say amen. A conqueror strikes down his foe. Listen to this. Remember, one who is more than a conqueror can build up his foe. We're talking about a whole different kind of living, not by the power of strength and violence, but by the power of love and joy and peace. And so what I want to do right now is talk about how do you stay into more, and how do you stay up, and how do you live as more than a conqueror? Well, the passage here is really talking about the love of Jesus. It says we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who what? Loved us. The key to becoming more than a conqueror means that you wake up in the morning and you learn how to tap into the love of God. It's all about how the love of God hits you. How's the love of God hitting you? Because when the love of God hits you right, it makes you stay up. So let me highlight what this passage of Scripture is really saying to us, and then we're going to embrace it and believe it at whole new levels. The love of God is the key to staying up. Now, when you stay up, listen, staying up is part internal, part external. More than a conqueror is part internal, part external. When you walk with God, it's what's happening inside of you first, between you and him, and then what's happening through you and him. So that's why we say all the time, God wants you to be privately healthy and then what? Publicly fruitful. That's the way Christianity works. So, okay, very quickly here. We stay up because we know that he never separates from us. Everybody say, he never separates. That's why we conquer, because no matter what's happening, Jesus never separates from us. What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing can separate you and I from the love of God. Now, here's the thing. Many, many people think that isolation is external, but actually isolation is internal. So what we're talking about today, right now, is internal. What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing, which means that Jesus and the love of Jesus is always with us. Amen? But see, a lot of times people get convinced that you're alone if you're not around a lot of people and a lot of stimulation. But see, that's not true, because you and I both know that you could be in a room with 100 people and you still feel alone. You could be at a family gathering and you could still feel isolated. You could be with your friends. You could be at a dinner party and you could still feel alone. And let me tell you what that means is isolation is not external. Isolation is internal. You understand? But the question is who is the one who could really minister to you internally? Can I tell you something? Jesus is able to minister to your heart. How many would say amen? And so that's why we have this conflict in our culture between like noise and being with people and having the radio on and having music on and all that. And yet we struggle with being alone, because we think that when we're alone, we're alone. But how many know, just because you're alone doesn't mean you're alone? Not when you accept Jesus. Listen to this. Did you know that your heart has arms? Your heart has arms. And your arm, the arms of your heart were meant to impact your solitude. Listen to this. Solitude is where God takes hold of us with the arms of the Spirit, and we take hold of God with the arms of our heart. When we are alone, that's when we can embrace God. When you're alone, that's when you really can connect with God. You need solitude because in solitude, we can worship God. So here's the way it really should go. So we worship God together. We sing, "Who else is worthy?" That's a little off key, but that's okay, right? That's a hard one to sing. "Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus," right? So we did that together today. I don't know what you guys sang in Chicago, but can I tell you, when you go home today, you can sing that song. And your life gets set on fire when you worship him alone. Because when you worship him alone, you start to embrace God with your spirit. You want to become more than a conqueror? Embrace God with your spirit. Give him the glory. Give him the honor. When you're alone, there should be something inside of you that is always longing to be alone with God. One of the ways you know you're growing in God is that sometimes you're around people. And I remember distinctly being a baby Christian and this starting to happen to me. I was thinking to myself, oh, snap. This is nuts. Like, God is real. I remember being around people and something in my spirit saying, come on, get away with the Lord. Did you ever feel like God tugged at your heart and said, come on, read the Bible? You know, you ever have that feeling? It's because God in solitude, God wants to give you an opportunity to embrace him and for him to embrace you. And when that transaction takes place, guess what starts to happen to you? You become more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. When we're alone with God, we not only read his word, but we get to hear his voice through the word. So I've been praying for you this week. I've been like imagining you alone with the Bible. And as you're reading the Bible, I'm like seeing you, hearing the voice of God. How many know God speaks through his word? And when you get a promise from the word of God, guess what happens? You become more than a conqueror. Through him who loved you, through him who loved us. When we get alone with God, that's when we can receive the comfort of his closeness. You know, one of the best examples of this in the Bible is actually David. David, who was the arguably one of the greatest kings of Israel. David, who although he made mistakes, he had flaws, David was the one person in the Bible that was described as a man after God's own heart. David could write the book on isolation and rejection. David was rejected by his father. David was rejected by his brothers. If you're here today and you have experienced rejection from key people, I've got news for you. You're not alone. Many other people have been rejected. David is one of them. And when you look at David's life, you will see that even though he was rejected, David became more than a conqueror through the Lord. So David was rejected by his father. David was rejected by his brothers. David was the one who slayed the giant. And then after he slayed the giant, David was rejected by King Saul. But all throughout his life, David found a way to get alone and to throw his arms around the Lord and to receive the comfort of God. That's where Psalm 23 comes from. The Lord is what? My shepherd. I shall not want. Anybody here know that Jesus is your shepherd? Come on, put your hands together and say, you are my shepherd. Yes, Lord. I shall not want, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. See, the powerful thing about the Bible is that when you embrace it for yourself, you become more than a conqueror than whatever's going on in your life. You and I can conquer that truth. Some people are addicted to stimulation. Some people, they can't stop. They're so afraid of being alone. They're so unaccustomed. I was watching the other day. First, I've seen this in myself. But I was in a restaurant the other day, and I watched people with their phones, and it's incredible. Have you ever noticed how many times you look at your phone in 1 minute? It's like a reflex. It's like, you just looked at that thing like a second ago. You know, we've gotten addicted to like stimulation. Put this on, put that on, put this on. Noise, noise, noise. How many know when it gets quiet, God can speak to you? Listen to this. Richard Foster, who wrote The Celebration of Disciplines, he said, if we possess inward solitude, we do not fear being alone, for we know that we are not alone. Jonathan Edwards said this. He said, true religion disposes a person. It means it inclines a person to be much alone in solitary places for holy meditation and prayer. Listen, true grace delights in secret converse or conversations with God. The true grace is received when you get alone. I wanna encourage you, go for a walk with Jesus today. Don't run from here to this activity and that activity. Go for a walk with Jesus. Just give him a little while and watch what happens to your spirit. Guess what's gonna happen to your spirit? You're gonna be turned into more than a conqueror. And when you become more than a conqueror, guess what? You just stay up. And trust me, you will get many, many opportunities to practice this. Remember this, screen time is meant by the enemy of your soul to steal face time from God. That's what it's all about. I'm not saying that your phone is evil. I'm not saying that the iPad is evil. What I am saying is make space to be alone with God. Let's take 1 minute. Not 1 minute. Let's take 30 seconds. Can you handle it? All right? Can you handle 30 seconds? Put it all down, and I want you to lift your hands. Right? I want you to lift your hands. Why? It's like because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want you to just say, God, I worship you. Come on, say, I bless you, Lord. Come on, if you're watching online, I bless you, Lord. I worship you. This is not emotionalism. This is spiritual connection with the Holy Spirit. Make room for the Holy Spirit in your life. He wants to make you more than a conqueror. That something will be imparted to your soul. Come on, a little bit more. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship you. We magnify your name. You're worthy. You're worthy. We make room in our hearts for you. We make room in our minds for you. We make room in our soul for you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. God, I pray in the solitude of this moment, minister to hearts today, God. Touch people who are battling with depression and a spirit of rejection. We rebuke that spirit of rejection in the name of Jesus. David conquered the spirit of rejection, and so can we through the love of Christ. Do it by your mighty power. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. Come on, let's praise Jesus for his goodness. If a musician can come. You know, I'm reminded of when Christian, we had a worship leader at our church. He used to sing this song, Hallelujah, I am not alone. You know, how many are thankful we're not alone? But we have to take time to tap into the goodness of his nearness. He never separates from us. Here's the second reason why we stay up. So that's internal. God is always with you, okay? But watch this. This is more external. We stay up because he never abandons us. He not only doesn't separate from us, on your worst day, he will not separate from you. But watch this. He never abandons us. I'm in the East Coast right now, and so I was asking today, is this East Coast phrase also true in the West Coast? When I was growing up, we used to, if someone abandoned you, we called them a flat leaver. So, how do we know Jesus is not a flat leaver? Come on. Jesus is not a fair-weathered friend. The Proverbs 28:18-24 says this, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and his name is Jesus. How many know he never abandons us? So look, I want you to go back with me, go way back with me to 1978. I was 12 years old in 1978, I'm pretty sure. And, you know, a lot of you may or may not know I grew up in the hood. And so, I mean, I'm not proud of this, but I was in a lot of fights. You had to fight just to survive. And so I won some, I lost some. It's crazy, though. I remember the losses a lot more than the wins. And once when we were 12 years old, we had a baseball game about 40 minutes away, and we would all go in the coach's cars, and we went to this game. And as we, when we finished the game, like, we knew when we went to that particular park, we were not on our turf. Okay, and in Brooklyn, back in 1978, the turf wars were really strong. So you never found yourself in another neighborhood alone. But anyway, it turns out that one of the coaches left early, consequently one car left early, and I don't know how this happened, but me and three other guys, we got selected to take the bus home. So, like, I mean, it was like one mistake after another. So they said, look, we'll take all of your equipment. So just go take the bus. And what that meant is that we left the baseball bats. And when you're in the wrong turf, you really should be carrying a baseball bat. But we didn't. We left the baseball bat. And so it was three of us. And it was me. And unfortunately for me, I was the tallest guy. I was 12 years old, but I was super tall. And so it was me and this guy named Gino, he's a crazy Cuban guy, and Kenny, and another guy named Eddie. And so anyway, we're walking. And we're walking, two guys ride on a bike, and one of the guys says something awful to us. And when you're in the wrong turf, and you left your equipment and all that kind of stuff, and somebody says something really ugly and nasty to you, you know what the reply is, right? The reply is, oh, thank you very much, sir. But Gino Gino replies to the guy. And he says something back to the guy. And it was not good. And you know sometimes how your brain, something happens now, but your brain goes like, right now, this, and then this, and then this, and then this is gonna happen right now. That's what happened in my brain. So part of me wanted to say, I don't know this guy. Oh, you mean the same shirt? Oh, no, no, we just picked up these shirts. I don't know that guy. You deal with him on your own. He's got a big mouth. We're not like him, you know. But, you know, you can't be a flat leader. So to make a long story short, we almost got into it with these guys. They ran, and when they ran, we ran. We tried to run into the back of a restaurant, and all of the cooks threw us out. When the cooks threw us out, 15 guys surrounded us. And let's just say I got the beat down of my life. You know, some old man dragged me out from the crowd and all this. And it was a beat down. And then after that, every time I looked at Gino, I was like, oh. But you knew there's something wrong about being a flat leaver. Whenever you're loyal to someone, do you know that that little thing inside of you to be loyal, it actually is, should be a reminder to you that you've been made in the image of God. Because God is infinitely loyal to his creation. Like many times, and we've all been there, when we should have been loyal, we all fail God. We fail our friends. Sometimes when we should be loyal, we're not. But whenever you are loyal, you know what that is? That's a little bit of who God is inside of you. But here's the thing. God is always loyal. He never, ever abandons us. So I'm reminded of something I heard. So let's go from one 12-year-old to a 13-year-old. I'm reminded of something that I heard Christian fathers did this in Omaha, is that when their sons became 13 years old, they had this ritual, this rite of passage, and they would take the boys who turned 13, you know, in the Jewish culture, when you're 13, you get bar mitzvah, like you become a man. And a lot of cultures from different nations, when a young man turns 13, he's like, that's his rite of passage. So I remember hearing about this, and I thought it was magnificent. And so what they would do is all of the fathers would get together. We need to do this in our churches. All the fathers would get together with the 13-year-olds, and they would get in this one room, and they would set up this obstacle course. And then what they would do is they would blindfold the boy, and they would put loud music, and all the men would start yelling and all this, but there would be one voice if it was the kid's father, or just one voice. And in the midst of that voice, listen to this, in the midst of all of the noise, the man would say, hey, come this way, follow me. And blindfolded, the boy had to learn to, in the middle of all the noise, is to listen to that one voice. And then he would say, come on, take hands. You're coming up against some stairs. Climb the stairs right now. I'm gonna help you. And all throughout the obstacle course, the kid had to, without seeing, because we walk by faith, not by sight. How many would say amen? Without seeing, the 13-year-old boy had to learn to listen noise and screaming. They're saying negative things to him, and they're saying opposing things to him. And he has to listen for one voice. Because listen, even though you and I might be surrounded by crisis and surrounded by noise, how many know he never leaves us nor forsakes us? We just have to stop and listen for his voice. Hallelujah. Are you listening for his voice today? Because if you listen, The Bible says, let them that hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. God wants to speak to you and I every single day, even in the midst of a crisis, even in the midst of hardship, even in the midst of heartache, even in the midst of sadness. How many know we can be going through it, but we can stay up when we hear the voice of God? So let's go through this. Watch this. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? How many know when trouble hits you, he still doesn't leave you? Shall distress? Okay, can I tell you something? Ripping off someone's bumper, by the way, so I rip off the bumper, and it was the parked car, and a guy and a girl come out, and the guy was so upset and like going off, and it was really, really, I mean, it wasn't funny, but it's kind of funny now. He gets out, he's yelling, he's saying four-letter words, all kinds of stuff. And I'm going, I'm sorry. But my wife jumps out, and she was like the super peacemaker. And because she started talking to them, they just calmed down. How many know it's good to have an intercessor? How many know we have an advocate with the Father who says, no, give him a break? How many know Jesus? How many are grateful for every time Jesus steps in? Because he never abandons us. Famine won't do it. Nakedness speaks to shame. If you're here and you live under shame, in the name of Jesus, he has not abandoned you. He has not let you go. Nakedness speaks to shame, in danger or sword. Listen to what Barclay said. Barclay said, the disasters of the world do not separate us from Christ. They bring us closer. So here's what this means. And I'll kind of close with this. You see, Jesus never abandons us. What happens is we abandon Jesus to fear. Jesus never abandons us. We abandon Jesus to fear. When the threat comes, when the hardship comes, we embrace the hardship and we start to give into fear instead of doing what the Bible says. The Bible says, watch this. The Bible says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and guess what? I will answer. And so you know what the Bible teaches us is that when you're getting afraid, when you're in the hardship, you and I can insert Jesus into your atmosphere of fear. So say the name of Jesus the next time you get afraid. Say the name of Jesus. Say, Jesus, help me. Call upon the name of Jesus, right? No matter what's going on, say, Jesus, I need you. Who cares if you're in the store? Who cares if you're at school? Say, Jesus. And let me tell you, at the mention of the name of Jesus, the demons must bow. Hallelujah. The demons must run and flee at the mention of the name of Jesus. Insert the name of Jesus, because he never abandons us. But we can call upon the name of the Lord. God wants you and I to stay up. Everybody say, stay up. We can stay up because he never leaves us nor forsakes us. So I have two questions for us today. Question number one, have you ever really connected to the love of God? What can separate us from the love of God? Well, we have to connect to the love of God. You have to accept Jesus. If you want the love of God, you have to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And once you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, your religion turns into relationship. when you accept Jesus, your kind of church community is transformed into a spiritual kingdom and family. Everything changes when you actually fully accept the love of God. And so a big question is have you connected with the love of God? But now I want to say this to Christians. Are you connected to the love of God? You ever ask someone, are you a Christian? They say yes. But the real question is are you tapped in to the love of God? Because it's the love of God that enables you to stay up. What was it like for you this morning? God wants to build us from the inside out, all by drawing near to Him and just worshiping Him in our solitude. And then just your time alone with God is enough to keep you up all throughout the day. So question number one, is there anyone, look, someone is gonna take over now in a moment in Chicago. And if you're watching online, question number one is, are you really in relationship with Jesus? Are you connected with Jesus? Have you tapped into the love of God? What is the love of God doing for you? Because the love of God, this phrase, more than a conqueror, is only used one time in the whole Bible. In fact, more than a conqueror is barely used in the original language in any text at all. It is that unique a phrase. Guess what? God wants to make you and I more than conquerors. How? Through Christ Jesus who loved us.